chapter 4. No, he's just staying home because to take care of his family. So he's not sick. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's go and start in verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. You there? All right. It says, "And he himself," this is Jesus, "gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers." We know that to be the fivefold ministry, the ministry gifts, the five, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Right? So that's the five ministry gifts that Jesus gave to the church. To the, when I say church, I mean the body of Christ. You know what I mean. It says, "For the equipping," notice this is their purpose, "for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry." So those five have to work together. They need to learn to work together for this purpose. It's their assignment. It's to, for the equipping of the saints, which are you, everybody's a saint, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Then it says in verse 13 is where I want to kind of start from, "Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man." So we're striving, we're trying to hit a target. Does everybody see that? The fivefold ministry is working to hit this target, this goal of the knowledge of the Son of God, right? "To a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." One of the New Living Translation talks about that the standard that Christ set is what it says. So in other words, the fivefold ministry is working to build the church up, the body of Christ, to become a lot like Christ, the perfect man, the standard. Jesus is the standard, right? And it says here that we all come to the unity of the faith, right? Not a whole bunch of different faith. There's a unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. So there's knowledge that we need to get about Jesus, right? Ephesians 1, remember in Ephesians 1, Paul prayed. He says, "I pray that God would open up your eyes, that you would know Jesus more," right? "That he would open up the eyes of your understanding, that you know the inheritance that he has in the saints, that you would know the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead." So those are things Paul said. We need to know that. We need to get to this place. And he says, "And to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." So there's a standard, there's a measure in Christ that we can get to. Everybody good with that? Right? There's a place that we must get to as a church. And if we're not getting there, we're not doing our job. So that's our assignment. The work of the ministry, our assignment for the fivefold, is to get you to be like Christ. Because we're supposed to be like him on this earth. That's what it says. 1 John 4:17, it says, "As he is, so are we in this world." And when you see yourself, Ephesians 2, go to Ephesians 2 real quick. Verse 1. Ephesians 2, I'm going to bounce around a little bit, but this is just laying some foundational work. We're going to get back and dig deep into this over the coming weeks. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And you he made alive." You were made alive. Amen. "Who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked." So notice how this is all past tense. So what I'm saying is you need to see yourself a little differently. Stop looking at yourself as this no good rank sinner. You were, absolutely were. You were horrendous. You were really bad. You walked according to the lust of the world and your own lusts, it says. But he made you alive. If he made you alive, you're no longer that anymore. So it's all past tense. We were dead in trespasses and sins. We were. We're not dead in trespasses and sins anymore. Or at least you're not supposed to be. You understand? We've put ourselves down here when Jesus says you're up here. Notice it says, "In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience." Then he says, "Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves." So we once did that, all of us. the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, of the mind, by nature, and we were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But we're not like the others anymore. Let me say, we're not supposed to be like the others anymore. We're supposed to be like Christ. Amen. That's the standard. So we need to leave this place of woe is me, I'm just a sinner. No, stop that. You were that. Amen. That's why he died, to get you out of that mess. And we need to change our mindset. Notice he says this. He says, verse 4, by who God, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Verse 6, and raised us up together. So you're not down there anymore. You've been raised up together with Christ. He says, in heavenly, and next one is, and raised up together, and made us sit together. God made us. He literally plucked us out of the grave, out of sin, out of death, out of the way we used to walk, the way we used to think, and plucked us up, and he said, here's your new seat. Sit there from now on. Stop thinking like that. Here's the problem. Yeah, if you live there, if you think there, you're still going to sin. You're still going to be beat up by the lust of your flesh. You're crucified with Christ. That man died. You can't live that way anymore. Because Jesus died, and you're supposed to see yourself dead with him. But then the new Christ, I hate to say new Christ, it's a bad term, sorry. The risen Christ. Right, we don't stop there. We don't stop in the grave. We continue past the grave. So we see, the problem is we see ourselves in the grave, stuck there. He plucked us out and he gave us a new seat. He says, now you sit together here with Christ, my son. This is where I want you to sit. What I'm talking about is positional truth. This is your position. This is, now, the problem is, take that position and make it an experience. Become experiential truth. In other words, that's where I'm living now. I'm not living down in the grave anymore as a sinner, always thinking about my sin, always sinning, always thinking about my flesh, fulfilling the lust of my flesh. I once walked that way. Now, I'm experiencing the life that God gave me. The new life, positioned with Christ, seated in heavenly places. This is where you are. Amen. All right. So that's kind of a little groundwork. Genesis chapter 1, please. Go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Everybody good with that? All right. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Now we're just going to kind of back up and really kind of build on this little by little by little. Because what I want to get to you eventually is to get you where you see yourself seated with Christ. When you get that mindset, fear has nothing on you. You're full of faith, walking in the power of God, reigning in life. Sin can't get to you anymore. You've conquered sin. You've conquered the flesh. And I'm not saying that you may not stumble. I'm saying you need to stop stumbling and get out of there. The world depends on the church being in the measure of the stature of Christ. Because we've been weak, we've allowed this so much to go on in this world. I'm not saying that word anymore. COVID. I said it. Should have been handled a long time ago. Especially amongst us. Okay. Genesis 1:26. You there? Okay, let's look at the very beginning. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. Let them have dominion. Notice what God said. The very first thing he said, he commanded dominion to the man. You know what dominion means, right? Authority. You rule. You're in charge. He says he's given man dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth. Over all the earth. That's everything. Over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So there's a book. Who was it? God's Plan for Man. Who wrote? The Finnish Stake? finished day, God's plan for man. That is God's plan for man. Right there. God never changes his mind. He can't. When he makes a decision, that's it. Everybody hear me? God never changes his mind. Listen, even when God knew that we would sin, he still didn't change his mind and made us. But he made a backup plan. It says, before the foundation of the world, Jesus was slain. The Lamb was slain. Even before God ever made anything, he already planned it. He says, I ain't changing my mind. Once we go through this, we're not changing. We're not going back. You ever hear that? We're going forward. So he says this. He says, God gave us authority. Verse 28, then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over everything again. So notice, God says, multiply, be fruitful, fill the earth and subdue it. In other words, the earth may not have been filled with anything, correct? The only thing we know that was there was plants and animals and birds and fish and stuff, but just one man. And God said, you need to fill it, you need to subdue it, and you need to have dominion. He says, I've given you dominion. Good? This is real basic foundational stuff. Psalm 115, real quick. Psalm 115. We're going to go back to Genesis, but go to Psalm 115. Psalm 115, verse 16. Psalm 115, verse 16 says, the heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. So heaven is God's. The earth is ours. Now, you know, God, heaven is perfect, right? There's no crime, there's no war, there's no sickness, there's no disease, there's no poverty, there's no lack, there's no death in heaven. I want you to think about this. And God put man here and said, okay, I want you to do the same thing. Here's the earth. I want you to do the same thing to the earth. Make it crimeless, diseaseless, deathless. You understand what I'm saying? He says, go and subdue it, and don't let any of these things enter the earth, because that's yours. God doesn't want us living in heaven, because we'll just kind of mess it up. He's perfectly happy with himself. Honestly, our home is not in heaven. Our home is back on the earth. If you read Revelation, we're coming back here for 1,000 years. And then he's going to make a new heaven and a new earth, and we're still going to live on the earth. But it's interesting how God says, when Jesus prayed, the first thing he prayed, Matthew 6, 9, he says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, God put man there. He made us just like him, as much as God, but without being God. And he said this, now do the same thing on the earth. Everything that's in heaven, you do on the earth. And he says, and I want you to have this mindset. I want you to think like this. No crime, no sickness, no disease, no wars, no hatred, love. Now listen, there was one person that thought differently in heaven. There was one person that said no to God, and God kicked him out right away. Lucifer. Lucifer didn't like God, and God told him to do something, and he said no, and God said, get out. You're done. God has no place for a no in his life. God has no place for disobedience. God won't even allow it in heaven. Lucifer told him no, and God said, you're done. There is no room in this place for you. When Adam and Eve sinned, what did God do? You're out. There's no place for that in this life. So there should be no place in your life of disobedience against God's word. That's how God treats it. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Genesis 2. Go back to Genesis now. Hi, Linda. You leaving? She's leaving? Hi, Linda. Nice to see you. God bless you. You're healed. In Jesus' name. Merry Christmas. Yes, amen. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. All right, let's take a look at this. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Ready?
You ready?
It says, "Then the Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden and to tend and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil shall not eat, for the day that you eat of it you shall surely die." Now, we always think that the first commandment to man was to not eat of the tree, correct? Actually, the first commandment was to keep it and tend the garden. That was the first commandment. Let me look at these two words here in the Greek, because it'll probably, in the Hebrew, because it may open up some new thinking about the garden and man's sin. Here he says this in verse 15. He says, "Then the Lord God took man and put him in the garden to tend and keep it." There are two commands that God gave Adam. I want you to tend the garden, and I want you to keep the garden. Those are the first two things God said. And in those, we see two sins, the sin of omission and the sin of commission. Let me explain first these two words in the Hebrew. The word to keep, because in Hebrew, keep comes first, not tend and keep it. The Hebrew says to keep it and tend to it. All right? So the word to keep in the Hebrew is the word shamar. The word shamar means to protect and to guard. That's what the Hebrew word. So the first thing God said is, I'm putting you in the garden, and I want you to guard it and protect it with your life. So what we see is responsibility, stewardship. God says, this garden is yours, Adam. I want you to guard it. The next word is tend, and the word tend is the word abad, A-B-A-D. The word abad means to till it and work it until it becomes fruitful. Remember the parable of the talents? God gave man five, and he doubled it to 10, right? And what did God say? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. In other words, that man was tilling the ground. We believe that work was part of the curse. It's not. God always commanded us to work. He says, here's a garden. Now listen, the word tend to or abad literally means to work to make it grow. In other words, a lot of scholars believe that the garden was the only green spot on the planet. And God said, you work the garden and make the whole earth a garden. You till it and work it and spread it. In other words, spread love everywhere. In other words, spread goodness everywhere. Spread mercy everywhere. God said, man, he says, I've given you a garden. Now do something good with it and subdue the entire earth. So God said to do two things. Now the last thing was don't eat from the tree. So here is where it gets interesting. When the serpent came and tried to deceive Eve, tried to make her sin, and then Adam came, right? He came to Adam, or Eve actually gave it to Adam. One of the things that we see is the sin of commission. That Adam literally, ready? Adam literally ate and he sinned, correct? So commission, the sin of commission, means to actively participate in something or actively participate in sin. He literally committed the sin. The sin of omission is when you don't do something you know you're supposed to do. The reason why Adam sinned is because he didn't do what he was supposed to do. He didn't guard the garden. When the serpent came in, Adam should have put his foot up and say, no, get out. Because he allowed sin to come into the garden, sin caused him to commit it. Evil caused him to commit it. In other words, you can't entertain sin. You can't play with sin. You can't say, I can handle it, you know, it's nothing. Because he didn't do what he was supposed to do. He was supposed to speak to devil, you get off of my wife and get out of here. Don't you dare talk to my wife like that. Do you understand? His first response was, oh, Satan's here. When sickness comes, our first response is, by his stripes I was healed. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. This plague shall not come on my dwelling place. Instead, we've entertained it. Oh, well, it's another one. No, it stops. I'm guarding my garden. Every one of us has a garden of God that you're supposed to protect. Your wife, your kids, your home, your job, whatever it is, it's your garden, and God says, protect it. That was God's plan for man then. It's still God's plan for man now. Guard your mind. Guard your heart. Guard your flesh. God's never changed his mind. So we allow Satan to come in, to creep into our garden. And then guess what? Then now we're fighting in the flesh, and he causes us to sin. And that's what happened with Adam. Adam's real sin is a sin of omission. Because he failed, listen, he opened the door, and he failed to kick Satan out. Satan got a foothold. And he got to Eve, and then Eve got to him. Satan tried to do that in heaven. And God said, no, this is my home. You have no place in heaven, Satan. No, and get out. Amen. Good? Romans chapter 5. Let's go there. Romans chapter 5. What is our assignment? We have an assignment. There's a song on TikTok, I know my assignment. You need to know your assignment. Amen? Protect yourself. Guard yourself. All right. So Jesus comes. First of all, write this down. Whatever you fail to protect, or whatever you fail to dominate, will dominate you. Whatever you fail to master will master you. Whatever you don't control will control you. So when Jesus came, he didn't come just to give us eternal life. Let me just be clear. He came to give us everything we needed to live a successful life here. He said, I've come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. You see, I'm not diminishing eternal life. I'm not diminishing heaven. It's great. But our home is not heaven. Our home is here. We'll go to heaven for a while, but we're coming back here. So one of the things that Jesus did was he destroyed the works of the devil. Everything that dominated us, he gave back to us. He gave us the power to dominate the very thing that dominated us. Amen. He just didn't give us eternal life. He said, okay, this thing is dominating you. Here's the power to crush it. Here's the power to get rid of it. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. I'll prove it to you. Romans chapter 5, 17. Watch what Jesus said, what Paul says here. Romans 5, 17. You ready? It says, you got it up there? Good. It says, for by the one man's offense, that's Adam, death reigned. See that word, reigned? It reigned through the one. Much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Did you notice he's talking about living a successful Christian life here? You don't have to live a successful Christian life in heaven because it's perfect. But he says, no, I want you to do it here. I want you to reign in life here. The New Living says it this way. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it, ready, will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Our triumph over death is heaven, eternal life. Our triumph over sin is now, reigning through the power of Jesus Christ now. Let me give the Message Bible says it this way. If death got the upper hand through the one man's wrongdoing, can you imagine the breathtaking recovery life makes, sovereign life, the life of God in those who grasp with both hands this wildly extravagant life gift, this grand setting, everything right, upper hand, that the one man Jesus Christ provides. In other words, where sin had the upper hand, Jesus came in and said, you have the upper hand. If you fail to see that other part of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, you'll be tossed about to and fro and never live up to the stature and measure of Christ. If you only see Jesus' death and burial as eternal life and not reigning in life, you miss the boat. I got saved when I was 24. I'm still living here. He didn't leave me here to be beat up, and he left me here to reign in life. He left me something. We call it the Holy Ghost. We call it the Word of God. We call it the grace of God. I don't care what you call it. It's a package. He said, here, reign. Amen. Jesus gave us the upper hand on everything. Praise the Lord. You are responsible to enforce this, to live like this. You're supposed to guard this. Now, go to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. We're almost done. Again, I'm just giving you like a little backdrop of things. The word guard is huge with this, because if we don't guard things in our lives, we'll lose to it. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Notice in the Hebrew, he said, keep it. Keep the garden. So you have a garden. Your life is a garden. You need to see it that way. And what do you do with your garden? You keep it. You guard it. If the Hebrew word for keep is guard, God has given us specific instructions on what we need to guard so we can reign in life. Number one, guard your heart. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. He says, He says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. The word keep means guard. So what is he saying? Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Everything that you will go through, everything you need in life, is all right here, because God lives there. And he says, you keep that. You guard that. Don't let any evil get in here. Don't let sin be entertained in here. In other words, you guard it. You put a fence up. You keep it strong. Why? Because this is what's going to get you through life. That's the number one thing he says. Guard your heart. Number two, guard your purity. Keep yourself pure. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Keep yourself pure. Remember what I said? Adam didn't guard the garden. And what happens? It led to sin of commission. The sin of omission led to the sin of commission. If you want to live up to the stature of Christ, if you want to reign in life, you have to deal with sin. You have to deal with sin in your life. And you don't have to fight it if you guard it from it. Does that make sense? Don't keep fighting the fight of sin. Guard your life from sin, and you won't fall to sin. If Adam guarded the garden, he never would have had to sin in the sin of commission. One leads to the other. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 21 says, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that you observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing with partiality. Do not lay hands on anyone hastily, nor share in other people's sins. Keep yourself pure. Amen. Number three, keep yourself unspotted from the world. James chapter 1, verse 27. James chapter 1, verse 27. Keep yourself unspotted from the world. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. In other words, stop spending 24 hours a day on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or Snapchat because it's polluting your mind. Social media is polluting us. We're being spotted by the world. The world is dictating how we think or how we do or what we do, what we believe. Number what, four? Keep yourself from idols. 1 John chapter 5, verse 21. Little children, keep yourself from idols. I mean, he's so clear. If you look at the word keep throughout the Bible, it's about guarding something. We've lost the battle because we failed to guard. We've been given a life to protect. Protect your Christianity. It's so precious. Jesus is precious to us. Protect him in you. Protect your faith. Otherwise, you'll be walking in fear. Amen. I'm preaching really good. I'm going to take up a second offering because I'm preaching so good. One of the things Brian and I were trying to do for this Christmas Eve was get back to the purity of that night. And honestly, Christmas Eve, he was going to talk about that night, that it's not what everybody thought, that Jesus, Mary and Joseph weren't knocking on hotel doors and saying, hey, you got any room? And there was no room at the inn. That's a lie. We were going back to the purity of the word, that they were actually went to their relative's house and there was no guest rooms left. Their rooms were all full. And this was actually part of their house. It was at the front part of the house where they had the animals. They didn't go out back to a stable where the horses and the camels were living. This scene was part of a person's living arrangements. It was just in the front part of the house. We've been fed so many lies. We need to get back to the truth. Because in the truth is the power. Thy word is truth. It's thy word that sets us free. It's his word that everything is established on. When we believe that, you know, Mary and Joseph found a barn, you know, there's no truth in that. And everything else crumbles. The fact that we think that Jesus is not Lord over COVID, I'm sorry to say it again, it just makes us crumble. He's Lord over every disease. He's Lord over our country. Amen. We need to stop thinking of us as down there. But man, I'm seated with Christ. I sit up here in Jesus' lap. And if I look to my left, the Father is right there. And when I say, Father, when I pray, when you pray, you're not supposed to be praying, Father, heaven, I hope you hear us. No, when you're positionally seated up here, just say, Father, we need something. Totally different thinking. Totally different thinking. That's how God made us. That's how he made us, like in his image and his likeness. And when we lost it, he said, oh no, Satan, you don't have the last word. I'm getting them back. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to make them better than they were. All right, let me finish up here. Number five or six? Five? Keep your thoughts. This is the dangerous place for you. Keep your thoughts. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Keep your thoughts. Guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Number seven? Keep yourself in the love of God. Jude verse 21. Keep yourself in the love of God. Don't let anybody steal your love. Amen. If we don't guard these areas, Satan will dominate and he'll take over our entire lives. 2 Corinthians, yeah, 5, who said that? Yes, sir. 2 Corinthians 10, chapter 10, verse 4 and 5 says, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Yeah. Amen. So let me finish with this. Have you ever had a cop pull you over and give you a ticket because you were speeding, and then you gave them the whole spiel like, oh, I didn't know what the speed limit was. Oh, I didn't know it was 25 and you were doing 50. I didn't see any signs. Guess what? You still get a ticket. In other words, you can't play dumb with God. You're still going to be held accountable if you don't keep your heart right, if you don't keep yourself from idols, if you don't keep yourself pure, if you don't keep your thought life. You can't tell God, oh, I didn't know that was in the Bible. God said, don't hold that. I'm not playing that. It's not how I made you. Praise the Lord. All right, so listen, I just wanted to give you some foundational things today. I'm going to dig deep into this because I understand my assignment, and that's to get you to the